Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. What happens when you put two comedians with stories about their somewhat dysfunctional families in the same room? Does it become a therapy session, instant bonding, or competitive? Let's find out. With me in the studio is Maria. I think I know the answer. With me in the studio is Maria Bamford. Maria Bamford is best known for her portrayal of her family in self-deprecating comedy involving jokes about depression and anxiety. And Diana Nguyen is the only female Vietnamese-Australian comedian performing at this year's Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And given Vietnamese people are very funny, that's, wow, the statistics, really.
I know, yeah. That's why my mom's a bit shocked that I am the first one. She's like, be the first doctor, but why be the first comedian? Are you making any money?
Can I say, because we've done the doctor thing now.
Who are you competing with? No one.
All right, Maria, let me start with you. What is it about families and family structure that makes for great comedy?
Well, it's free. And I think we can't overemphasize that, that you don't have to go very far to get it. And it's ingrained that I've always known how to impersonate my mom and dad. And because the fact that we are related, they can't really my mom has to be proud of me. And so she's got to change whatever the logic is in her head to make it that I'm something to be proud of.
that's still a nice mother. There are some parents that just, no, they won't have anything. No. They won't have that.
Yeah. Well, my mom most recently, she said, there's a comedian who wrote a memoir and it just won a prize. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. Is that the daughter you wanted? Because I'm not a writer. I don't want to write a book. But my mom always wants. Does your mom always want a little more? Or that's what I feel like. My mom is always. All she wants is just more.
Diana, is that going on in your family too? Do they cry that you're not a dentist or a doctor?
Oh, there was. Well, when I wrote a short story called Five Ways to Disappoint Your Vietnamese Mother about my mom. And when my mom found out I wrote about it, she wanted to sue the writer. Right. But now she's accepted that I'm an actor and comedian, but she's like, you got to lose some weight because no one wants to see a fat comedian or fat actress. So I know that she's accepted me in the arts industry.
But she's trying to improve.
Yes,
is she
is. In the most nice way mother would encourage their daughter.
I would argue you're not fat enough to be successful in show business. You got to put on a layer so many wonderful,
we'll give you a cream pie
comedians
at the end of the drawing room.
Yeah.
So, Diana, have you always observed your family as being funny? Is it... Did you know that this was like, I've got great material here from a young age?
Yeah, my mom is this electric volcanic, like if you had to call her a war, it'd be the Vietnam War, just so up and down. You just had to walk in eggshells and when she smiled, you weren't sure if it was real or not. Like you just had to play around her and make her happy. So when I started doing this whole stand-up thing, I think it kind of made her wish that she had done it as well. Yeah, like you see it in their eyes.
She's like, I want to be the best Vietnamese Australian stand-up.
It's like competing with me.
And she's in politics now, which is, I think, a more boring version of stand-up. I mean, really, in terms of like you do public speaking and lots of crowd work.
What does your mum do?
Just at home.
Yeah.
Just listening and watching me now.
Oh, I thought you said she was in the Senate.
Oh, no. This is Pauline Hanson. We're getting confused.
I love that you have just come in and confused her mother with Pauline Hanson. Because, look, I think I feel pretty comfortable in saying that I wouldn't confuse them.
Well, he is. He's a pretty little lady. I mean, there's no denying. But I'm so sorry. Totally got confused. I was like,
Same.
It's all right. I'm enjoying the competition. Is it quite right? Now, Maria, you recently were married. How's it going?
As far as I can tell, he's here.
He's come with you.
Oh yes, of course. Yes. We've been together 5 years. My longest relationship was 1 year. Yes. His was 3 years. We just made it 5 whole years, and my mom really gave up on looking, for a husband for me. She would, I said, hey, if she's very religious, so I said, hey, if you want to light a candle and constantly keep it aflame in hopes of, Let's see how powerful your God is. And finally, it worked out. And then,
so her God is very powerful.
I mean,
five
I don't want to say
her God's delivered.
I have to argue, I'm a better Christian than she is, but according to the rules of her own book. But I found out that Christians give 10% of their income away charity, so we're giving 11. We don't even believe in heaven, but I guess we're going. And my mom was very supportive of us getting married. I let her. We got married in our own backyard with just one person watching, and then a few friends, and then I let my mom plan a giant wedding so that she could have the graduation party of her dreams.
Yeah.
And then we did that.
So you got two weddings.
Yes.
The one you wanted and the one your mum wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And then she got to have a great time, invited all these people that we didn't really know very well. And what fun.
Yeah, that's Vietnamese weddings too.
Yeah.
You invite everyone that you met on the boat journey to this wedding.
Yeah.
So you end up having 300, 500
well,
people.
Well, it's good to have a reunion, isn't it?
That is. Yeah. Well, if you think about it, weddings is the only time and place where you will actually have these people ever in the room again.
Yes.
Like you won't see that at the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only party where you'll see these people. And I find it interesting that you're feeding them with your own money.
Diana, have you got married?
No, that's
why.
Well,
you look sad. Are you okay about it?
No, I am 33. I always thought that I'd be a mum when I was...
It's good for stand-up, though.
It is good, but I always thought I was going to be a mum when I was 18. And when I was 17, in my yearbook, it said in 10 years' time, I will have 10 children.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing.
But is that now an audience? You have hundreds of children.
Yeah, I do.
Every
well,
instead,
night. You went down the road of stand-up. Now, tell me about that road. It's a, you know, I know the world's changing and you look at sort of artists like Hannah Gadsby who are really changing the game. There are many others, you guys too. Mm. But it's still I've been looking at the comedy festival. There's a lot of blokes making jokes still, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of blokes.
It's still the main story.
They're still the main story, and they still wear the same clothes, and they still all look the same. But it was interesting. I heard someone talk about when men stand up, we listen to them and then look at them. But when women stand up, we look at them then listen. And I find it really interesting that we get viewed in that way. So I'm actually allowing them to say, "Hey, look at me," but you're going to sit for the next 50 minutes and listen to what I'm saying. And then punch them.
And then I assault them at the end of my show. On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. I'm talking with comedians Maria Bamford and Diana Nguyen, and they're both performing as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Maria, in your shows, you talk a lot about anxiety and depression, and you do it with such empathy. How do you make a serious experience, something actually quite dark, light?
Well, I think you have to have had the experience in order, because obviously I'm not going to talk about very serious issues that I have no experience in, because I can speak to my own life, you know, like I can make jokes about suicide because I've tried to commit suicide. So like there are some funny elements along the way, I've been in a psych ward, so I'm not making fun of something that I don't know. I'm not kicking down,
kicking
or
down.
Punching down. And that's what I like to do. And also I like to say things that might make people feel uncomfortable. Sometimes saying things that might make people are uncomfortable were things that I would be uncomfortable before, and I just want people to get used to them, you know, get used to hearing it. That
So how does the audience respond? Do they look
uncomfortable? It depends. If it's a bar at midnight, yeah, I'm not going to do well. And if you are making Australia great again, please do not come to my show. Do not come. Please, YouTube, whatever act you're going to come see, because there's no need to put yourself in a disappointing situation. You have I hope you have a phone.
Try before you buy. Is that your recommendation too?
Yeah, I guess so. Or just come support because I'm Asian. I'll take anything, actually. I'll just take anything. Yeah.
But I definitely had, speaking of like appearances of what people think they're going to get, like because conventionally, at least when I was younger, I'm not going to say, anyways, but white blonde lady, sometimes people go, "Oh, I think I'll like that. I think that's going to be great." And then I'm like, Well, it's going to be about a half hour on bipolar and then some very odd snorting noises near the end. I don't think it's going to be great. You're not going to like it at all. Yep. You're going to wish I talked more about wine.
Oh, okay. So people basically sizing you up. Blonde lady, just going to talk about...
It's just like anything. Like I would do the same thing. You know, judge a book by its cover. You go, oh, this is going to be something for me because it's, and that's the confusion sometimes of comedy marketing or any arts marketing where they go, oh, we want a big crowd. Like I had a publicist who says, oh, I want to show you having huge crowds. And I'm like, no. That's actually the last thing I want because that's not who I attract. I attract a very small, specific, kind of shy group, but it's not really interesting to me to have massive crowds who don't know what they've come to see.
So fascinated by this.
I'm not a crowd pleaser.
Because I don't know if all comedians would say that. You know, some would be like, I don't care, don't try before you buy, just come in. And I've heard that a lot. Just come to any show. Don't actually do the research, just come in. You think that it's important to do the research?
Especially for me. I'm definitely.
Is that because you're also trying to manage not having a hostile audience?
Yeah. No, that's also not my gift. I've definitely worked hostile audiences for years. I've done casinos and retirement parties from the Navy. And it's just miserable. You know, I didn't grow up with heckling within my family environment. Like, we didn't. There was some light physical violence, but there wasn't any. It was the 70s. Come on. You just sock somebody in the stomach every once in a while. Just a quick sucker punch to the breadbasket. But, I didn't have a lot of verbal debate in our family. So as soon as somebody starts heckling me, I have a few responses and I can handle it for a while. But then at a certain point, it's like, yeah, this isn't the show for you. I'm so sorry. I love you so much. And
catch you later.
Catch you later. It might be time to go. I'll walk you out. We'll talk about your feelings on the way out. I'll give you what cash I have on me. And that's it.
Have it for you, Diana. Have you come across hostile audiences or people who just don't quite get what you're doing?
I think with my marketing, I project this very confident woman. So my marketing has been Dirty Diana. You kind of get the gist.
I reckon I know what I'm getting there. Yeah.
And my first show was called Naked. So I had a lot of men saying, are you going to get naked? And I was like, well, you have to pay and come see it. But when I performed at Edinburgh, I'm exactly like you. One of my favourite performances was at Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I went out onto the stage at 12:30 a.m. and there were six men.
Relaxing.
Waiting, and and my brain was like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for jokes or are you waiting for the title of the show? And I remember my brain doing, oh my God. But in the end, they sat there for the whole time. Mm-hmm. I didn't take off my clothes. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to. They listened to my dark things, and I will always remember those six men because there's a huge distrust with audiences, like particularly men when men watch women. And that's for me is forever stuck in me, of my own fear being on stage at that moment.
So you've found not always hostility, but actually kindness.
Yeah, kindness. But it was shocking to me in that moment because I was going, I need to rewrite my show right now to make these men. But in that moment, I was like, well.
They chose.
Yeah. And that made me realize you can trust men.
But I do like that about festival crowds, is festival crowds are very open. So it's different from going to a casino out in the middle of nowhere where, where it's uncertain why comedy has been planned.
Yes. Now, I know that you're both brilliant at voice impersonations and impressions. How did you discover that gift?
I studied my mum in the kitchen and watched her operate in the kitchen, and I just kind of listened to her because I've got a web series that I'm doing and I feel like I have to authentically be Vietnamese, even though I am Vietnamese, but to get those sounds.
Be extra Vietnamese.
Yeah, be extra. Be on the boat Vietnamese. Oh, yeah.
And so did she know you were studying her to essentially impersonate her?
No, until she saw our show. And
did you give her a heads up before she's like, Mum, I'm going to pretend kind of to be you?
Mum's been giving heads up every time I've done a show. But for this Fee and Me, this web series that we're doing, I remember her sitting in the audience at the Melbourne Comedy Festival 8 years, laughing in the back, covering her face because she didn't want anyone to see her laughing. Aww. Like it was her admission that she was proud of me. But she was hiding it behind her flyer.
Thank God for flyers.
Does she pitch you jokes now? Does she?
She, like, I did Miss Saigon years ago, and she's like, the next day, if they ever need an actor, I can be a prostitute in Miss Saigon.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know that mum's like now warming up to your career. Yeah.
Not only, she's trying to move you out of the way, buddy.
She is.
She's clearly, she's like, well, this is turning out well for her.
So sweet.
Yeah, so you never know.
So, okay, I haven't talked about your voice impressions.
Yeah, my voice, because I wouldn't be heard, usually people would say, oh, you sound like a baby or, yeah, and my sister has the same voice, so it's a genetic, I don't know, predisposition. And so I would use different voice to get people's attention when I first started.
So if I talk in this, you know, cadence, and someone's going to take, you know, they're going to take a second, they go, well, she knows what she's talking about. When in fact, I have the exact same brain. I just have no idea where I'm going with this.
And you mentioned your web series. Yes. I know that you both have your own shows, whether it be on TV or online. Mm. How different is that to stand-up?
I think it just depends on what the format is. Like, I did a web series, and, it was just 3 or 4 minutes per thing. And then when I did a TV show, it was a team of writers, so I wasn't by myself. You know, it wasn't but then that got canceled. There's two seasons of it. It was great. Good. It was a good run.
Building
good run.
Resilience.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yes. Bought a house in cash. Who cares?
It's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a... For you, is the delivery of the content really different to writing for, you know, a stand-up audience?
Yes. Well, Fee and Me was the original entry for me into the comedy festival. It was a family comedy theatre show with 3 actors on stage. And then when I got into stand-up, it was basically now me talking to myself into an audience. And I'm like, oh, I have no one to play off with except you guys, the audience. So it was a massive shift to the point where I remember doing stand-up that I got hives every day. Like my body was having a reaction because I was like, what are you doing to yourself? Like, why?
How did you deal with that? So obviously you were struggling.
I was stressed. I'm a very highly stressed person. I love it. I get driven by it. But my body was like, no, we're catching up. We're catching up with this stress. It's the next level. This is the next level thing you're doing.
So you were
yourself.
Actually allergic to performing.
Yeah, to stand up.
But wait. But there's more. Yes. You continued.
I did. Yeah, and took it around the world.
How are the hives going now?
They're gone.
Antihistamines?
No, just my voice is going, that's all.
Yeah, that's pretty grueling on your voice, isn't it? Night after night.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done a show yet, so I'm relaxed. I'm feeling great.
You're chilling out. Hey guys, it's been great to have you in. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Joining me tonight, Maria Bamford and Diana Nguyen, who've been my guests in the drawing room.